الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في محكم تنزيله وعز من قائل: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. وقال سيدنا معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه: أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيدي فقال: والله إني لأحبك، فلا تدعن في دبر كل صلاة أن تقول: اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. وبعد، respected ulama ikram, the father of the Quran Kareem, elders and respected friends in Islam, we thank and praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the greatest thinkable favor that Allah can bestow upon any human being, and that is in the form of Iman, as defined tasdeequl Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima ja'a bih, to believe with absolute certainty, conviction, with yaqeen in every single thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed, undoubtedly as an integral part of this deen. So to believe in every one of those details with absolute yaqeen and conviction is the definition of Iman. And this Iman is so valuable that a person who is fortunate enough to leave this world even with a weakened state of Iman, provided that it is with sincerity and ikhlas, is guaranteed through the mercy of Allah Ta'ala eternal salvation by being from the honored residents eternally in the gardens of Jannah, whether for a short period of time he is cleansed of his weakness and his sins by the fire of Jahannam, or if Allah so wills and wishes with his mercy, overlooks even that and grants him direct entry into Jannah. This summarizes the great ni'mah and value of Iman that each and every one of us possess with the grace and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, without us being eligible for it in any manner whatsoever, without us being deserving or making an effort towards it. It is only from the mercy and the grace of Allah Ta'ala that we enjoy this ni'mah of Iman. In today's discussion, inshallah, we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very briefly, we quote the hadith already mentioned in the Arabic text in the opening khutbah, where the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught my hand and said to me, on the oath of Allah, on the qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Mu'adh, certainly I love you for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. According to some narrations, Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu responded, and I, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manifest my love for you as well. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, that being so, see to it, O Mu'adh, that never ever in your life do you leave out saying at the end of every compulsory salah, at the end of every farz salah, continuously recite the following dua: Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, assist me, help me in remembering you, in expressing gratitude to you for your bounties and favors, and thirdly, in worshipping you in the most perfect and beautiful of manners. So this hadith forms the core of the lesson that we look at for today. We are extremely fortunate to benefit from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لمبارك حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The knowledge and the science of hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forms an integral part of our deen. The Quran Kareem itself emphatically draws us to look at all that was brought by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the words, وَمَا آتَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has brought and taught and conveyed to you as a matter of your deen, then hold steadfastly to it. Now here, a word of caution that many a times very dangerous statements, audacious statements are made that what need is there for the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Quran suffices for us. نعوذ بالله. The hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the knowledge contained therein is a speciality of the Sunnah. It is an extension of the knowledge of the Quran itself. There are many, many injunctions given in the Quran Kareem that can never be fully understood or practiced until its details are not looked at in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Logically, if we think and ponder upon a point, our very belief in the Quran Kareem is conveyed by the means of the hadith. For indeed, we learn from the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Quran Kareem is a revealed word of Allah ta'ala. Our very belief that the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are from the hadith, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very strong words of caution in the form of a prophecy by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا أُلْفِيَنَّ أَحَدًا مِنْكُمْ مُتَّكِيًا عَلَىٰ أَرِيْكَتِهِ. Let me never find one of you who claims to be my followers in the generations to come, sitting in all luxury and pomp and splendor in his home. When a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is presented to him as a form of advice or admonition, he haughtily responds and says that I do not require this which you are presenting to me, i.e. the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran suffices for me. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and inculcate in our hearts the love of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected listeners, great effort, blood, perspiration, toiling and effort have gone into preserving the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the sound and authentic modes of transmission via the isnad, by the three resources of this ummah, in such a manner that words can never encapsulate. There were many instances where a person may have heard that one who had heard, a Sahabi who had heard the words of a specific hadith directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite the fact that where he was resident had the opportunity to learn the very words, but such was his love that he wished to listen to it rather via only one mission or one transmission, via one narrator, would sometimes travel thousands of kilometers to go and benefit and listen to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes for the sake of one hadith only, they would travel all the way from Medina Munawwara to Damascus and Sham and to other parts of the world. One incident that tells us the strict code of authenticity with which this hadith has been conveyed to us, a great muhaddith, a scholar of hadith, had once wished to listen to a hadith from a certain scholar, traveled hundreds of kilometers, and when he reached there, he found that this scholar who had lost his animal was trying to coax it into coming to him by offering him something to eat, and when it came, he put the reins over the neck of that animal so that he may capture it. He said to himself that even this minute amount of falsehood in this person, that he has tricked this animal in this manner, does not warrant me to listen to the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from such a person and return from where he had come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, نَبْتَرَ اللَّهُ مِرَأَنْ سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا وَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To tell us the virtue of participating in the lessons of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, May Allah keep healthy and fresh and well the person who listens to my word, to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listens attentively, commits it to memory, and if we cannot do so in the original Arabic text, at least let's learn the meaning of the words of the hadith, and thereafter convey to others, propagate the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to others. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a great dua for such a person. This could benefit one in this worldly life, but as in the instance of so many of the scholars of hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala will make great sacrifices for the preservation and conveying the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is renowned about him that for many, many months after he had passed away, the fragrant smell of musk would emanate from his qabr. One of the alam, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar from the subcontinent of Allah, towards the latter years of his life, honored him with residence in Medina Munawwara, teaching the Mubarak hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is renowned about him that after his death, many a times when his qabr would be read that for the purpose of reburial, his body would be found in a sound state as it had been buried just recently. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has benefited such people on account of their involvement in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now looking at the hadith that we are discussing, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, a great companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught my hand in expressing his muhabbat, in drawing my attention, and said to me initially, and look what a great honor Allah has accorded him, where the Rasul of Allah, the most beloved in the creation of Allah, says, on the qasam of Allah, verily I love you, O Mu'adh. What greater thing that in honor can a person wish for than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself according such honor and expressing his love? A very brief insight into who is this personality, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is given the honor in the chapter of Abu Abdurrahman, was from the residents of Medina Munawwara. The initial people of Medina who had accepted Islam amongst a group of 70 who had taken the bayat and accepted Islam even prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hijrah. He had participated, accepted Islam at the age of 18, participated in the battle of Badr, Uhud, and all the other important expeditions with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was spared as a brother to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an after the migration. Now we listen to the following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خُذُ الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions that take the knowledge of Qur'an from four of my companions. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, wa Mu'adh ibn Jabal, wa Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfah radiyallahu anhu. He is amongst one of those four whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implored the companions, even in his own life and in his own presence, take the knowledge of Qur'an from these four, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu being one of them. He also has the great honor that during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were six companions who were given permission to be muftis, to give fatwa, even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three from the Muhajirin, three from the Ansar. From the Muhajirin, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum. And from the Ansar, Hadrat Ubay bin Ka'ab, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, and Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Mu'adhul Imam al-Ulama al-Yawm al-Qiyamah. One of the specialities of Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is that on the day of judgment, he will be the Imam of the Ulama. So Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, the narrator of this hadith says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took my hand to draw my attention to express his love and said, I love you for the pleasure of Allah. Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu responded likewise, and O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the habit that we try and bring alive within us that generally is not existent, whereas in the Sahaba it was a general habit. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you love another believer for the pleasure of Allah, then express their love. Say, إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ فِي ضَاطِ اللَّهِ. Verily, I love you for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Express this love, and this love based on the basis of Iman, that I love a person only because he is my Muslim brother. on the basis of the fact that Iman unites our hearts to a Nabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions an incident of a person from the previous nations that he was on his way to another village visiting a person. Now many of us, come weekend, come some of the weeknights, we would go and visit people in surrounding areas. Sometimes in the weekend, make a long journey to go and visit some relatives, some friends. Let us take lesson from this hadith and merely channel our intention correctly. So Allah Ta'ala sent an angel to this person who asked him, where are you going forth towards? He said, to a certain village. For what reason? To visit a brother of mine. The angel asked him, does he owe you any right? Is there any monetary right upon him that you are going to claim or any other reason? He said, there is no motive except the fact that I love him for the pleasure of Allah. The angel said, I am an angel whom Allah has deputed to you, who has conveyed the message. I convey the message to you from Allah, that just as you love that person for the sake of Allah, Allah has expressed his love for you. And this Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala shall proclaim, أَيْنَا الْمُتَحَاكُونَ فِي جَلَالِي لَهُمْ مَنَاكِرُ مِنْ نُورٍ يَعْتِقُهُمُ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. Where are those who in their lives would love one another only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? For them they will be honored in the place of Qiyamah with members made of nur of light. So he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, after I have expressed my love, that if you claim to love me, O Mu'adh, then manifest it in the following way, that always, never ever leave out saying the following dua after your Farad Salah. That with punctuality, after every Farad Salah, recite the following dua, the dua that we look at very shortly its meanings, inshallah. But another very important point here is the quality of istifama, of steadfastness, remaining steadfast from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala mentions the famous incident wherein, a lengthy incident wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha the famous tasbih known as tasbih Fatimi, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times, to recite after all the five salah as well as before sleeping at night. After each of the salah and also at night before falling off to sleep to recite this tasbih, therefore it is known as the tasbih Fatimi. Anyway, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, many, many years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had taught this to one of his students to recite, his student asked him, have you ever left out reciting this tasbih? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says that from the day I have heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, up to this day in my life, never once have I left it out. The student asked him, not even in the famous skirmishes in the Battle of Siffin, at such a very difficult time, he says, even on that night, I made sure that I recited this tasbih. Now, what that is that istiqamah and steadfastness and adherence to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what are the words of this dua? Very simple and short dua, but that contains volumes and volumes of wisdom and benefits for us in our practical lives. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Oh Allah, you help me and assist me. A person can do nothing without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا اسْتَعَلْتَ فَاسْتَعَلْ بِاللَّهِ وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask of anything, ask Allah. When you seek assistance, then ask Allah for help. Where Allah Ta'ala, here the Prophet Muhammad says, that, O Allah, assist me, help me in the following three. First and foremost, in remembering you. O Allah, you assist me, you guide me towards your dhikr and remembering you in the best of manners. The very same companion, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, towards the final days of his companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deputed him as a governor and a teacher to the people of Yemen. The people of Yemen who had accepted Islam happily and willingly, to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a very special dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Yemenina. O Allah, bless us in the lands of Yemen. And also says, لِمَنْ أَبَ حَبِيبًا الْإِيمَانِ يَمَانِيٌّ وَالْحِكْمَةُ يَمَانِيَّةٌ. That the true barometer of Iman can be found in the Iman of the people of Yemen, And wisdom can be found in the wisdom of the people of the Yemen. Sayyidina Mu'adh sent as a teacher and the governor of the people of Yemen. And on his departure from Rasulullah, a very touching and a moving departure, his last meeting with Rasulullah, where both were fully aware of the fact that this is probably the last time that they will meet in this dunya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked him a distance out of Madinah Munawwara, and his final words is, he said, give me some lasting advice, everlasting advice, parting words. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. O Mu'adh, see to it, and tamuta, that when death comes to you, your tongue is moist with the dhikr, with the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. And so did Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu put it to practice, that when he had passed away, just prior, a few moments before his death, in the plain of Amwas, in the lands that is today Jordan, he was in a state of self-consciousness. Whenever he would come around, then he would say the following words, Allahumma in kunta ta'alam anni akhafuk wa ana al-yawm arjuk. O my Allah, I love you. And O Allah, you know I always fear you. At this critical juncture, O Allah, I have great hope in your mercy. He then says, marhaban bil mawt. Marhaban khayra zanir habibi. He says, welcome to death. Welcome to that visitor who has come to visit the beloved friend of his who has been waiting for him for a long time. And then he says to Allah Ta'ala, these are very, very apt words in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last advices to him, where he says, O Allah, you know that I did not love this dunya for the sake of building beautiful gardens, of causing rivers and streams and dams to grow. O Allah, you know, I lived in this life only for three purposes, that I may enjoy the beauty of the pangs of thirst while fasting on a hot day. Secondly, to enjoy communion with you at the time of tahajjud, and to sit with the utmost humility in the company of ulama in the gatherings of dhikr, of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this one, the first teaching, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him, O Allah, assist me in your remembrance, in remembering you. Secondly, wa shukri. O Allah, you help me and you assist me to show gratitude to you for your favors. The favors of Allah Ta'ala are abundant, we can never encompass them. But three manners of shukr and gratitude, by means of the heart, that we acknowledge every favor of Allah Ta'ala to be from Allah alone. Secondly, by means of the tongue, وَأَمَّا بِلِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّ, to continuously verbally talk about the favors of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And thirdly, by means of actions of our body, to show obedience to Allah Ta'ala that serves at the same time of being gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah assists me in your shukr and gratitude. And such a beautiful definition is given of shukr. We utilize the ni'mah in favor of Allah ta'ala in the obedience of Allah. Any ni'mah, whether it is free time, whether it is good health, whether it is in a state of iman, whether it is financial resources that one has, to utilize the favor in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serves as shukr and gratitude to Allah Ta'ala for that human favor. And the third thing for which we make dua in this hadith, O Allah, assist me in wa husni ibadati. Assist me in worshipping you, in humbling myself to you in the best of manners. That, O Allah, when I worship you, in the various forms of worship that has a very wide-ranging meaning, O Allah, let me do it, observing all the etiquettes, all the various mannerisms of doing it, with concentration of heart and with sincerity of intention. A very simple and short and great definition given of husni ibadatik, bimuwafaqati sunnati zahiran wa batinan. That every action of obedience of Allah Ta'ala that we express, we do it in accordance with the way done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, outwardly imitating the action of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inwardly having the qualities of ikhlas, sincerity, concentration of heart, humility of heart, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To summarize the hadith discussed once again, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught hold of my hand in expressing his love to me, said, on the qasam of Allah, O Mu'adh, verily I love you. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says, I responded also by saying, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily I love you for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that being so, then see to it that you never leave off saying the following dua after your salah, after your farz salah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, assist me in remembering you, in expressing gratitude to you for your favors, and in worshiping you in the best and most complete of manners. May Allah barakatuh.